really seen ourselves where we deserve to be. Now, a sinner deserves to be in hell. We've offended God, folks, and we deserve to be in hell. And if we deserve to be in hell, that's where we ought to be. I don't believe there's any houses down there closed, food, water, trash, or nothing else. Then we'd really be thankful for these other benefits that God daily loads us down with if we could ever get a hold of what we are. Hell-deserving sinners. Somebody said, "Preacher, I've never seen myself there." Well, get in that Bible. Pray. God might show you, you know, just what you are. Amen. I'm going to try to preach a little while. God will be my helper. I believe I've got the mind of the Lord for this morning. And I want you to turn to Song of Solomon, chapter number 3. We'll close out that chapter this morning. And Lord willing, next Sunday begin with verse 1 or 2, whatever we need in chapter number 4. Song of Solomon and chapter number 3. Let's stand together. This will be the last time that you'll have to read this scripture with me in the preaching hour here at the church. And so let's read it again this morning, beginning in verse 1. "By night on my bed I sought Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, Saw ye Him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found Him whom my soul loveth. I held Him and would not let Him go until I had brought Him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till He please. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 80 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for the song service this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the tears and for the lifted hands. Thank you for the amens, and thank you, Lord, for your people. Thank you for those that silently said amen within their heart. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of preaching today. I pray that you will bless me that I might be a blessing, that you will help me that I might be a help. I pray you'll give grace to hearts. And Lord, today, may you rejoice in saving some old sinner by the good grace of God. Help us, I pray, to surrender our wills to God. Help us, Lord, to look not at the world nor mind the things of the flesh, but set our affection this morning upon God. Help me, give me the power and the liberty to preach. Move every heart for Christ, and we'll thank you in Jesus' day, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verse number 11 this morning will be our text, where Solomon said, "Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals, and in the day of the gladness of his heart." I brought this Bible with me to the auditorium this morning. A Bible that used to belong to Tammy Lynn, got her name in it. And she left it with me some years ago. I've used that Bible as my marrying Bible ever since. It's got the marital vows that I use. And it's when we exchange the vows for those that are joining together in holy matrimony. By the grace and the help of God this morning, I want to preach for a while on I take this man. I take this man. I want to ask you something. Have you ever taken the Lord?
Amen.
To have and to hold?
Amen.
To death do you part?
Amen.
I take this man. I want to say by way of introduction that the marriage covenant is a very serious commitment.
Amen.
It's serious in the hearts and minds of individuals. I don't know whether you know it or not, my friend, but when you said, I do, you said a mouthful. Two little old words carry a great impact in the mind of Almighty God, who instituted the home and the marriage covenant. And by the way, I say this as easily as I know how, but the bed does not constitute your marriage covenant. No, sir. Marriage, my friend, is sealed in a covenant and not in a bed. When you said, I do, to that little woman, and sir, when you said, I do, or ma'am, when you said, I do, to that man, you said a great deal. A marriage covenant and marriage vows, it's a very serious business. But especially when it's between Christ and a poor sinner. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. When you knelt on that altar and said, I do, to the Holy Ghost of God, and became wedded to the Lord Jesus Christ, He took that as something serious. And I believe our vow to Him in marriage means just as much as our vow to our wives in marriage, that it is until death do us part.
Amen.
We are to honor Him, obey, serve Him,
amen,
forsaking all others, my friend, in the holy state of matrimony, until death do we part.
Amen.
Oh, yes, sir, this thing of being saved and serving God and being God's child or being God's holy bride, my friend, is not something that we can take lightly. I'm afraid that so many folks today look at that in a light-hearted manner, in a flippant type way. Well, I'm saved and God owes me everything. I've got news to you, my friend. When you said I do to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a two-way street. He'll take care of you, but you're going to have to take care of Him likewise. Oh, yes, sir. It is a very, very serious thing. It is so serious, my friend, that it means the difference between heaven and hell. Do you hear what I said? When you said, I do, to the Lord Jesus Christ, it means the difference between heaven and hell. When you threw up the white flag of surrender, when God cornered you in your corner and got you in a position where you could no longer run from Him, and you raised up the white flag and submitted to God's will and said, I do, my friend. Mark her down that day that made the difference for you in your life between heaven and hell. For I say that all who are not wedded to the Lord Jesus Christ will spend an eternity in hell without God and without hope. And my friend, if we are wedded to Him, then we ought to crown Him as Lord of all, set Him supremely on our heart, and serve Him as our Lord and as our Savior, and blessed be His name as our King. Hallelujah to God. He was king, crowned as King in the day of His espousals. Oh yes, and we ought to render unto Him the due benevolence that is due unto His wonderful and holy name. Hallelujah to God. May I say to you, my friend, that when we say I do and take him, that man, that there are no divorce courts. Son, I'm telling you what, we're eat up with it in America. We're eat up with it in our churches. Oh yes, we're eat alive with it. When folks take the marriage vow so lightly that it only lasts for a little while, and you know, we find somebody else that we love a little bit more. That's a bunch of bulls, what that is. The thing of it is, we have a little spat that we can't settle. Oh, yes, sir. I'm right on target this morning. We have a little spat or a little indifference that we can't settle, or our lustful eyes look upon some heifer out yonder, or the eyes of a woman get to wondering on some man and wonder how different he might be than the man they're married to. And son, the next thing you know, they're in divorce court, and by law, my friend, they're legally divorced. I want to say to you, when you knelt and said, "I do," to the Son of God, there are no divorce courts, son. It is for time and eternity. You are His bride. You are His wife. You are a spouse to Him. Hey, and you will either render yourself to Him as a bride or mark it down. He will deal with you as a husband deals with his wife in the proper manner. Amen. No divorce courts, and there's no legal separation. That's another word I'm hearing lately. Well, we're legally separated. Who legalized it? Who made it legal? Well, we're legally separated. What you're saying is you want to be foot loose and fancy free. I want to be like a Burger King. I want to have it my way. Now I'm here to tell you, my friend, when you said "I do" to the Lord Jesus, you ain't having it your way. No, sir, you'll have it His way, or He'll carry you out behind the woodshed, drop your drawers, and give you a skin into your life that I'll guarantee you you'll never forget, my friend, until you get to glory. Amen. Read the book of Ruth, friend. I might as well say this. Do you know what I think some of you out there are getting ready to do? You have turned back in your heart on God. And you're standing at the Red Sea this morning, and you're looking over your shoulder at Egypt and wondering why God's brought you to where He's brought you to. And if you don't get your heart right and get the chip off your shoulder and get right with God, oh yes, sir, get on an altar and get right with God, you're going to find yourself turning back on God. And friend, if you're truly saved, by the grace of God, mark her down, the hide will be stripped from your backside before God is done with you. Well, I'll just take a vacation from God. Ain't no vacations from God either. There's no legal separation. We have no other lovers. We are espoused to Him as a chaste virgin, is what Brother Paul said. That's right. Now stay with me. In the text that we're reading, the church is exhorting the daughters of Jerusalem or the daughters of Zion to go out and behold King Solomon. Go forth and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals. They have already seen him in his bed of rest, my friend, which is salvation rest. They have already viewed him in his chariot, which is a type of redemption. So they have found rest, and they have found redemption. Oh, hang on to your hat. But now they're called on to go forth and behold Him wearing His crown. We have rest, we have redemption, and we have rule, my friend. And as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He will either rule your heart or He'll carry you on the glory before you have a chance to disgrace the name of the Son of God. I'm telling you, if you're with that, you get crossways on God, oh yes, and bitter on God, and be without chastisement, where of all are partakers, then you are a bastard and not a son in the eyes of God. I know. I'm glad I didn't have my hand pointed out toward y'all. I lost my watch on that move. Amen. That's right. Look here. Stay with me now. They're encouraged to behold Him, crowned as He reigns supremely in their heart. He is reigning supremely in their heart. But what does it mean, crowned by His mother in the day of His espousals? Go forth and behold King Solomon, crowned with the crown that His mother gave Him in the day of His espousals. What does it mean for Him to be crowned? Some say that Solomon, it refers to Solomon when he was crowned king over Israel, and Bathsheba, being his mother, crowned him with that crown in the stead of David, who was sick, bedfast, and unable to arise and do those duties. That may be. I'm not going to say it's not. Others, though, believe that it refers to the time of his marriage, whenever he got married to this little bride in the Song of Solomon. But some have the opinion that the words here are in regard to the passion and the sufferings of Christ, at which time He was crowned, my friend, with a crown of thorns, and by His blood He purchased and espoused the church unto Himself. I'm glad He did. I'm glad, thank God, that He suffered and bled upon Calvary's brow, and amen, and espoused the church unto Himself. We are purchased with His blood. We are not our own. We're bought with a price. We no longer belong to ourselves to do as we please and have it our way. We belong unto Christ. Oh yes, when you said, "I do," you come under His rule and authority. You are His bride today. I'm going to tell you what I believe it means. Don't leave me now. I won't take these words as being in reference to Christ as our glorious mediator. When first discovered to a poor sinner, amen, in His fullness and His grace, sitting and riding in the chariot of everlasting gospel. Did you hear what I said? I want to use those words as referring to Christ, and when He is first discovered or revealed to poor, lost, hell-bound sinners as He rides in His chariot of redemption. Oh, and the words of the church cry out to poor, lost sinners, "Go forth and behold King Solomon. He is riding in His chariot of redemption. And He is crowned, my friend, with the crown that His mother gave Him. Oh, in the day of His espousals. Oh, in the day of the gladness of His heart." I'm here to tell you, my friend, I believe what Solomon is saying here, that every poor sinner, when they're saved by the grace of God, they are at that time to crown Him. Oh, yes, as King supremely in their heart when they become wedded to Him and say, "I do." I know that's right. Amen. It is at their salvation experience that every saved sinner crowns Jesus with glory and honor. Amen. Then they humbly bow to ascribe all they have and are to be to His wonderful grace. They acknowledge it is by the grace of Christ that they are what they are. Now I'm going to tell you, we're a long way from there today, my friend. I'm going to tell you, this crowd that preaches salvation today and lordship and authority 10 years down the road, that doctrine is out of hell. It's out of hell. I'm here to tell you, my friend, God will so bring a sinner to the end of their rope, oh yes, and put them, back them up in a corner, where they'll either have to say yay or nay to Almighty God. I'm telling you, if you ever surrender to His power and authority one time, you'll have no problem of surrendering His authority. Later on down the life, my friend, it'll come easy once you bow your knee and, oh yes,
and bow your hard, adamant heart to what God wants in your life, it'll not be difficult to bow it on down the road as a child of God.
I want to ask you, have you ever done that? Have you ever really done that? Is He your husband? Is Jesus your husband this morning? Don't leave me now. Or are you in rebellion? Hey, some of you in here live like hell. And you want to tell me that Christ is your husband? I don't believe a word of it. You're as lost as a goose, buddy. Are you hearing me? Hey, man to God. He was crowned in the day of His espousals. The day that He was espoused. The day that you were espoused to Him. In the day that He saved you. He was crowned, my friend, with a crown of glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and as the husband over your life. He is no longer Bali. He is Ishai, my husband to you. Have you ever said, I do? I take this man. Did you take him? Old Pilate brought him out on that day crowned with thorns and said, behold a man. John the Baptist, when he saw him coming toward him in John 1:29, said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The bride, the church here said, behold, King Solomon. Go forth and behold him. You know what she's saying? Go on out to meet him. Amen. And look at him. Go look at him. Behold him in all of his glory. All of his power. Amen. Behold him in all your affections, all your love, all your willpower. Behold him. Go forth and behold the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to whom you bowed to in the day of your espousals. Now, these daughters of Jerusalem, they're exhorted to go forth. That word means don't be slothful. Amen. Don't be slothful. But go forth. I wonder about people, my friend, that are slothful in looking to their God. Amen. Slothful in trying to find Christ. Slothful in their Christian service. He said, arise. He said, don't be slothful, but go forth. He said, arise and view this glorious object. My lands of gracious. They like to tore Owensboro down because a sodomite-loving president visited the school. That's right. I'm telling it right. And Jesus Christ in His chariot of redemption. Oh yes, adorned and decked in all of His glory. Passes through this church Sunday morning after Sunday morning after Sunday morning. And yet sinners sit on their pew Sunday morning after Sunday morning after Sunday morning. And by the way, some of you out of your own mouth have told me that you're lost and going to hell. And yet you sit, my friend, on your stool of do-nothing when the chariot of redemption passes by. Why don't you go forth, oh yes, and behold that glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do you want to go to hell? Some of you told me you're lost. Why do you want to go to hell? Why do you want to be rebellious? Why do you want to be adamant in your heart? Why do you want to be contentious to the gospel? Come on now. Go forth. You, this glorious person, behold Him. You know what that word behold means? It means look. Just like Israel was called to look at the brazen serpent in the wilderness. And all that are bitten, if you will look at the brazen serpent, you'll be healed. Behold that brazen serpent, and you'll be healed. So Isaiah 45:25 said, look unto me, and be ye saved all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Now I want you to get a hold of that verse of Scripture. He didn't say, for I am God, and there's none other.
He said, I'm God and there's none else.
Amen.
Oh, yes, sir. And I believe what He's saying is, I'm God and there is nothing else in this world. It's all vain. It's all vanity, friend. There's nothing else in this world that we should desire to look upon. There's nothing else in this world that should attract us and catch our attention, for our eyes should be constantly focused upon the glorious object of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forever go out and behold Him.
People look at motorboats and this and that. I'm telling you, I'm so sick of sin. I'm sick of it, folks. I went to the barber shop on Friday. Walked into the barber shop and there's a fella milling around back where the barbers are, waiting to get his hair cut, a younger fella, maybe I'm in his mid-30s. He come walking up through there, had on a tank top and a pair of Bermudas that had a little rope, and they're gathered just about the knee. They're gathered. They look like old-fashioned knickerbockers, only about 6 inches too short. And I just kind of looked down at him. On his left leg, right here on the calf down here, was a UK emblem in the Wildcat. I'm talking about eat up with it, son. Oh, that is the mentality and the spiritual level of our society today, neighbor. Are you hearing me? Buddy, when men will tattoo emblems of a stupid ball game on their leg and display it off to the world. Oh, as if to say, that is my God. And by the way, I'm not trying to be facetious, but that is their God. I wonder who folks are serving today and claim to be saved by the good grace of God. You go out and talk to some church members in some other churches, and I hope I never hear this church talking this way. You can go out and talk to other church members. Some other church and talk about how a wonderful service they had, how God's a meeting over there in their place, and the pastor sits down and discusses his bedroom life with his wife in the presence of his board of deacons and claim to have God in the church. Men that are members and get up and teach Sunday school lessons. I wouldn't give a flip if they're listening. I hope they are. Claim, oh yes, get up and talk Sunday school lessons and claim to love God and have God in the church, and yet they sit around on the job and discuss the body parts of females to whom they're not married with. Other men get up in the pulpit, my friend, and preach, and later you see them with nothing on but a pair of Bermuda shorts and their old ugly gut hanging out, varicose veins, bless God, look like a road map on their legs, and want to talk about loving God and being saved. I'm telling you, my friend, that crowd has never been wedded to the Son of God. They've never said I do, and if you're in that category, you have never said I do either. I'm sick of it. Huh? I'm going to tell you what, I wouldn't let my wife treat me the way a whole lot of Baptists treat their Lord Jesus and claim to be married to Him. Somebody said, well, He's full of grace. Ooh, but He's also an austere man, reaping where He does not sow.
Amen.
I do! Go forth! Behold! Hey, and by the way, you can go tell that crowd I said that. It don't make a flip to me, friend. I said I do. I'm wedded to Jesus.
Amen!
Women don't know how to dress, don't know how to live. Oh, I'm so tired of it. Lesbian haircuts. Short shorts. Oh, yeah, sucking cigarettes and drinking liquor. Would you believe that the crowd that writes my wife on this thing called Bible Wise, been writing to her for months and never made a statement in all the time like this, but wrote her the other day and talked about a preacher that was in the pulpit and said that her husband, before the man went to the platform, said her husband took him downtown and got him a hamburger and a Michelob. Didn't want to get him some cheap beer, wanted to get him a Michelob so he could go to the platform and preach the Word of God. I'm here to tell you, oh, wow! Call me what you want. Call me mean, call me ugly, call me fuddy-duddy, call me whatever you want. But I'm telling you right now, that crowd has never bowed their knee and said, I do, and received the wedding ring and the wedding garment of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're just as lost as a goose in high wheat and on their way to hell. And if you have not ever surrendered to His will and been obedient to Him, you likewise are lost and going to hell. I'm preaching like this because I love you. I'm telling you, I'm tired of that crowd, buddy. Claiming to love God. And I'm going to tell you, somebody said, well, they ain't bothering nobody. You just think they're not. I'm going to tell you one thing they're doing. They're influencing you. They're influencing you a whole lot more than you think they are. That crowd has rubbed off on some of you a whole lot more than you think they've rubbed off on you. Because you come to church with your mind in that direction that they just might be right. And why should you have to throw your television out? Why should you have to put on a pair of breeches and a shirt and dress right? Or why should you have to let your hair grow out, ladies, and wear a dress, amen to God, or a skirt and a belt, and look right instead of running around in bullfighting breeches? Bless God, looks like 5 pounds of sausage in a 2-pound bag. Huh? Come on now. Why, hey! And what you are thinking in your heart, they got God over there. They say they got God over there. I'm going to tell you what they got. They've got everything that they've got in football games, basketball games, golf tournaments, race car track. They got up and shouted and cheered day before yesterday over a man that went to hell on a race car track. I do. I take this man. When He put you in the corner and put the pressure on you, buddy, and said, it's heaven or hell, which one do you want? You said, Lord, I do. You said, I take this man to have and to hold. Oh, man, in sickness and in health, till death do us part, to honor, serve, trust, and obey, hallelujah to God, in the holy state of matrimony. I'm glad, thank God, Brother Jeremy, come a day I said I do, because my heavenly bridegroom, my friend, is in the chain of redemption, and me and him is on our way to glory this morning. Hallelujah. They're not only exhorted to go forth, but they're reminded, now get this, in the day of His espousals. In the day, are He reminded that in His espousal, it has brought gladness of heart. Notice what it says. And in the day of the gladness of His heart. I want to ask you men something. Come on now. Don't draw back. Some of you men that I married, or some of you that I didn't marry, when you walked down off of that platform with that young lady, she'd come up one side and you'd come up the other, and a preacher looked down and said, who gives this woman to be this man's wife? And her daddy standing there said, I do. And that young man on the other side, daddy was a-crying, and the boy on the other side was a-saying, glory to God, she's mine now. Woo! She's mine now. Daddy done give her away. She's mine now. Oh, how happy. How happy were you? Oh, yes, my friend. Oh, yes, my friend. When you received that little bride of yours, may I say to you that when Jesus went out across the mountains and the palace through the heat of the day and the cold of the night after that one little old lost sheep that had went astray, when He found that little old lost sheep, what did He do? Threw it up on His breast with mourning and regret. Oh, I found a sheep. I found my... Oh, no, buddy. I'm going to tell you, when He found that little sheep, He said, little sheep, will you say I do and be mine? That little sheep said, Dah. Jesus said, glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, I'm married again. Glory to God. I'm married again. I found that little lamb that was astray, and I'm married again. Ain't that right? How happy were you?
Are you still happy with her?
Amen.
I said that to say this. Jesus is still happy with you.
Amen. That's right.
Somebody said, but you don't know what all I've done. I don't care what you've done. He's still happy with you.
Amen.
Don't you think He knew you'd do it before you done it?
Amen.
He knew your sin before you committed it. I'm going to tell you what breaks His heart. I wonder what breaks His heart is when we're so hard-hearted that He tries to bring us out of that sin. And we will not bow. We will not yield. Huh? It's like that wife at yard sales all the time. And her husband says, honey, you're going to have to lay off some of that yard sailing. And the more he begs about it, the more she goes. And my wife don't go no more. Much. When she does, generally I go with her. But I'm using that, amen, I'm using that as an illustration. Huh? Are you listening to me? Hallelujah to God in the day of the gladness of His heart. What do you think the prodigal son? Hey, when he went home, his father saw him away out!
Yes.
Ran and fell on his
yes.
neck. That little old boy said, I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son, but make me a hired servant. He didn't even reply to the boy. He has a hug in his neck and a looking over. Amen. He just got married. Bring me the robe. Bring me the ring. Blood, bring me the shoes and kill the fatted calf. This my son was dead and is alive again. Son, we're going to make merry. I'm here to tell you, when Jesus slays an old hellbound lost sinner, they is rejoicing on the hills of glory. Ain't that right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now notice, and I've already said this, King Solomon's coronation or crowning, it is said to be in the day of his espousals. That is on his marriage day. The day a poor sinner, being enabled by grace, gives up himself to the Lord and consents to be His forever.
Amen.
Have you said, I do?
Amen.
Oh, I take this man! When you took him, when you took the man, it was in sickness. And it was in health. Oh, yes, sir. That means in the good times as well as the bad times. What I want to know, bless God, is why some of you is drying up on the vine just because we're in the bad times. I've done been in the upper room, and the Lord said everything's all right. Hallelujah to God in the Father's house. I'm still praying for revival. I'm looking for souls to be saved by the grace of God and the glory to fall in the church house. Hallelujah. I had a revival of revival.
Yes.
I love you.
Amen.
I don't chide at you to be mean to you. I'm trying to probe your heart. Find out where you are.
Amen.
Get the amen. Get back in the house of God. What we had this morning.
Amen.
I like it.
Amen.
I ain't done that in a long time either. I like it. Hallelujah to God. I like snot and I like tears and I like a Holy Spirit in the house of God. Oh, I like a hearty amen ever now and then when the people of God realize that they were lost and going to hell. Amen. Condemned. Guilty. You was going to cry. I said you was going to cry. You was going to cry. You was going to cry in hell. But God, who is rich in mercy, with His great love,
amen,
wherewith He loved us, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Woo! You get a hold of that? Oh, can you get a hold of that? Bless His wonderful name. I like it, I like it, I like it. I like to see God get on one of you young boys. I like to see you cut such a shine in here, bless God. I'd like to turn loose and try to climb them walls. Get on them old four-wheelers and climb mountains, hills, them old three-wheelers and go through the swamp. That's God. Won't you get on a glorified three-wheeler in the house of God?
Amen.
pop a wheelie, rear that egg sucker up in the air, and go for Jesus one time.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all go out with your bow and arrows and your rifles and shoot deer. Won't you go out, bless God, and shoot the devil?
Amen.
Take your rod and reels and go out and catch bluegill. Won't you go out and catch a fish for Jesus, glory to God? Bring them to the house of God. Set them down on the pew and let them hear the gospel of their salvation. Oh, time, Holy Ghost, heaven. And by the way, it is Holy Ghost filled this morning, son. I feel wilder than a genie, wired up, tight as like a banjo string, yes, and ready to preach. Amen to God. I'm a feeling pretty good. Huh? Nothing like it. Old Brother Elliot Smith called yesterday and we was talking. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I don't feel any better than I feel when I'm in a holy gear preaching the Word of God." You've never been there. There's nothing like it. Boys, there's nothing like it. Son, you young boys in here want to get your kicks out of them old Model T Fords? Huh? Them old boats and four-wheelers and all that. Riding down the road the other day, and Elizabeth said, "There goes a dooley. That's what I want." I said, "My God, girl, why you the dooley? Why you want? Don't you want Jesus?" They know nothing about it. Some when you come to the house, and by the way, it ain't just for the preacher. Oh, if we'd ever learned Miss Sue just to come to the house of God, realize that we've been espoused to Him. We've done said, "I take this man to be my lawful wedded husband." I said lawful. I said lawful. I said lawful wedded husband. Son, it's right. Being lawful means it's right. Woo! I'm going to tell you what, son. Cut some shenanigans, Shona. Amen to God. I know that's right. Now listen, what about that marriage? Huh? Every marriage ought to have a courtship.
Amen.
I'm talking about a courtship. I don't believe in this eloping business.
Amen.
By the way, young people, you ought to have a right kind of a courtship.
Amen.
I don't think you ought to court in the back seat of an automobile.
Amen.
Get you in trouble.
Amen.
Not down at the drive-in theater house, nor the walk-in theater house. Heard somebody preaching the other day, and they said that when they courted as an old man, said they never got off their wife, their girlfriend, their fiance, never got off her mother and daddy's porch.
Amen.
And never had a kiss.
Amen.
Until they said, "You may kiss the bride."
That's right. Amen.
Or to have the right kind of courtship. I got thinking about the courtship of Ruth and Boaz. This is one of the best things I've given you in a long time. That courtship, you know it in Ruth, and the courtship, how she come up out of Moab. She was a Gentile, just like you and I are. We are the Gentile bride of Christ. And she came up out of Moab. And in chapter 1 talks about her coming out. But in chapter 2, we find her service in the field of Boaz, her kinsman redeemer. By the way, the Lord Jesus Christ is your Boaz. He is your kinsman redeemer. He is a next of kin that can redeem you, my friend. And son, when they come up out of the land of Moab and went into the field, oh boy, aren't you glad it always starts with Jesus? Boaz walked over to his gleaners and said, "Who is this damsel in my field? Aren't you, I'm ready to preach again. Aren't you glad that the God of glory took notice of you when you were just one little damsel, a gleaning in the field of Boaz?" Hallelujah to God. All of the others around you, Miss Sue. All the people around you over at Madisonville, about 1,500 people out of all that crowd. Jesus walked right down to where you were at and looked at the Holy Ghost and said, "Who is that damsel?" The Holy Ghost said, "Well, that's Sue, the Milportitis." Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now I'm going to tell you what Boaz told that little old gal, his gleaners. He said, "See not that you reproach her. Don't chide with her. Don't In other words, reproach, don't shame her. And do not rebuke her. Chapter 2, verse 15. Chapter 2, verse 16. Don't reproach her and don't rebuke her. Don't chide with her. Do you know why? I'm liking it. I'm going to tell you why. Because reproach and rebuke is part of the work of the law that brings you to grace. This is my theology, friend. This is what God gave me. I didn't get it out of nary book. I'm going to say, somebody said, where was she reproached and rebuked? Down yonder in the land of Moab. Under the law and under the curse. But when she came back to Bethlehem, Judea, got yonder in the field of Boaz. Boaz said, hey, said no more law. The days of law are over. It's now grace, loving grace. Hallelujah to God. Loving grace. Don't rebuke her. Don't reproach her. She's already been grace in my. I need about, let's see here. And then I'm going to tell you what Boaz done. Which one of you girls will be Ruth for me? One of you two girls will be Ruth. You going to be Ruth for me? Come on. Come right over here. Now I'm going to tell you what Boaz wants to do. Get right over there, Megan. No, she's already in grace. Boaz wants to marry her. He wants to hear her say, I take this man. Now he said, told her, said, hey, don't you rebuke her. And don't you reprove her. Let her glean in my field. You leave her alone. And they said, all right, we'll let her glean. And he said, no, you'll do more than that. Not only will you let her glean, he said, I want some handfuls of purpose. I'm going to tell you what he's doing. Now you pick up my handfuls of purpose. You know what Boaz is doing? Let's start. Let me start way back over here because we're going to wind up right there. Go back over there, Megan. We are doing it, Brother Jerry. So now you just throw some handfuls of purpose down. And I'm sure them men scratched their head and said, why does he want us to throw down a whole big handful just on purpose? Boaz said, you fool. I'm trying to get her to the altar. Where you at, Ruth? Got them handfuls of grace. That's just all of grace. All of grace. Now, I'm going to tell you where she wound up. Down at the threshing floor. Wound up in the threshing floor. And Boaz wound up in the night and felt something at his feet and it startled him and he said, who's there? And he said, she said, it's Ruth the Moabite. Said, I don't want no other men to know you're here. Before daylight, I want you out of this place. Oh, yes. Thanks be unto God. Look here, I'm going to tell you why it had to be before daylight. God saves old sinners in the darkness and sends them out in the daylight hour. Brother. Oh, yes, brother. Oh, yes, sir. And he said, by the way, he said, lift up your apron. She said, my God and our God. She said, all I've been getting is just handfuls. And now he's just pouring it all. Grace, more grace, all kind of grace. Pouring on grace. Oh, are you listening to me? And no doubt he turned around and looked at that little old Moabite and said, I'd like to marry you. She said, I take this man. I take this man. Oh, yes, sir. He's been taking handfuls of grace. Pocket full of grace, left full of grace, more grace than I can carry. Are you listening to me? And when she got back home, old Myra, that's what she said to call her. Naomi said, where have you been? She said, I've been down yonder in the field of grace. Now, I wouldn't be at all surprised
If little old Ruth didn't look over at Naomi and say, Naomi, I sure am glad that you decided to go down to Beth, down to Moab and in God's wash pot. God knew there's a little old Gentile girl down there, buddy, that needed God.
Yes.
Now I'm here to tell you, my friend, God knows this morning there's some little Gentile girls and Gentile boys in this building that need God.
Yes.
There may be some Gentile women and Gentile men that need God. And He has told you handfuls of purpose to bring you to the altar where you can exchange those wedding vows and say, I do! There's always a courtship. And I want to say, I've just got 3 points. I want to say after the courtship in the marriage, there's always the ceremony. Huh? You know what the first thing is in the ceremony? Are you listening to me? Who wants to get married this morning? Any sinner in here want to marry Jesus right now? I'll let Him exchange your wedding vows right now. I'll help you.
Amen.
You want to get in today, I'll help you.
Amen.
Gary, wilt thou have this man to be thy wedded husband? To live together after God's ordinance in the holy state of matrimony? Wilt thou obey Him and serve Him, love, honor, keep Him in sickness and in health, forsaking all others? Keep thee only unto Him so long as you both shall live.
Amen.
I do.
Amen.
You may put the ring on her finger. The ring is a signet of eternity.
Amen.
That ring that went on that little old prodigal's finger, round, has no ending. It's a signal. It's a signet of eternity.
Amen.
Oh, yes, sir. The ceremony, we have the vows. And look here. Said in the holiest state of matrimony, buddy, we're to live a holy life.
Amen.
Said to obey Him. We are to obey. Don't tell me you're married to Him if you're not obeying Him. We're to serve Him. We're to love Him. We're to honor Him.
Amen.
We're to forsake all others.
Amen.
And it's forever.
Amen.
And then there's the exchange of the ring.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? I like you. I said there's a courtship and the ceremony. After they exchanged that ring, the Holy Ghost said, you may kiss the bride.
Amen.
He peels that veil back and a holy kiss. And you know what that little bride said? Do I need to take you back to chapter 1? My! His kisses.
Amen.
His love, His kisses are sweeter than wine.
Amen.
There's the courtship and the ceremony. And I'm going to tell you something else there is in it. The cake.
Amen.
And you know what I like about the cake? You know what I like about it? It's not so much the cake. Everybody passing by there. And the bride and the groom standing back there dishing out the cake. And everybody that passes by said, sure, pretty bride. You sure, pretty young lady. You're dressed up awful pretty today. You're a beautiful bride. All that crowd walking by. And there we are cutting cakes on with our heavenly bridegroom.
Amen.
And I'm closing with this. I believe you took about all you can handle this morning, so have I. There is the courtship, the ceremony, the cake. Now get this. What comes next? The cruise. Boom, boom, boom. Hang, hang, hang. Clang, 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 clang. Hop, 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 hop. Hop, hop. Boom, boom.
And you know what's on the back windshield? Just married. Honk, honk. Honk, honk. Look at her. That's what Jesus is doing, son. Look at her. Just married. I said I'll take this man. Let me ask you something more. Will you take him today? Will you take him today without delay and crown him as Lord of your life? I want to read you this verse of Scripture and I'm closing. The Lord's speaking about Israel, His wife. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness. Bring her where? Into the wilderness. I wonder if that's where this church is at this morning. But Jesus has brought us to where we are. I'm confident of that. I'm loving to preach. I'm a preaching like a wild man. I'm loving it. Bring her into the wilderness and there speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. You know what Achor means? Trouble. I'll give her trouble as a door of hope. Our trouble, folks, ought to give us hope in God. He's not deserted us, no sir. And she shall sing there. Ooh. As in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Bali. Thou shalt call me my husband, and not my Lord. I'm going to tell you something, folks. When we can draw close enough to God, and that's why He draws us into the wilderness. That's why we're living where we're at today in this church. That's why we went through what we went through, and it seems so cold and dry and lifeless. Now, I don't know everything about it, but I'm confident that God has brought us into this wilderness to speak comfortably to us. And there, He may draw us so close that we no longer call Him Lord, but our husband.
Amen.
That simply denotes a little closer relationship.
Amen.
I take this man. Have you took him? Let's stand together, please. I want to invite you this morning to an old-fashioned altar. Is He your Ishi? Have you surrendered everything to Him? Have you crowned Him? If there's been an espousal, there's been a crowning. I want to invite you to come to an old-fashioned altar today and get hold of God for your life. Why don't you escape the torments and damnation of hell today? You too can raise your hand and weep, shout, smile and laugh like others have this morning. If you only knew the great love wherewith He loves you. My Father this morning, my Ishi, my Lord and my husband, thank You for the day that You brought me to a place of salvation. Your glorious chariot pointed by the Holy Ghost set me forth to behold my King Solomon. And in that day, I crowned Thee Lord of my life and said, I do, I take this man. And I pray that You will bless this morning. They may
very well these people here lost and without God. Lord Jesus, I'm not trying to dictate to you what you do in the field and in the harvest, for thou art the Lord of the harvest. But oh, the joy I know it would bring to your heart, the joy that it would bring to your heart to see an old sinner saved. And Lord, the joy that it would bring us. There'd be rejoicing here and there both. I pray that you'll work this morning in a glorious way and help your people. I hope they saw some light this morning. I tried my best to encourage them to see what was done when we were saved and our relationship with Thee, how wonderful and glorious it is. I believe I can honestly say, Jesus, I love You this morning. Thank You for passing by my way in that glorious chariot of redemption, saving my eternal soul. Help our church, help our nation, help our people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. What is that, Brother George? 283, I'm sorry. God's spoken to your heart this morning. You have made your way to an altar. While some are praying, others are singing, you come right on. Let's sing. 283. Come on. Come on. While God's here to save you, come on this morning. Break loose and come on to Jesus. Go forth and behold Him. Would you do it? You'll never regret it. Break on out of that pew and come on. God's dealing with you. God's dealing with you. Come on. Right now would be the time. Don't let anything stand between you and your Lord Jesus. Come on. You're about ready. Come on. Come on. You're about ready to break out of that pew right now. Why don't you just take a step? I'll meet you. I'll meet you if you'll come this morning. Just a minute now, we're going to sing another verse. I need this on. My throat will kill me if I don't. We're going to sing another verse. Why do you want to stand there this morning when God's dealing with your heart? I feel the presence of God here today. And I feel His power to heal and His power to save. I feel God's power in conviction, convicting sinners. I beg you this morning, if you just surrender. And I know God's dealing. I just know He is. That's why I say surrender. For if He's not dealing with you, it'd be fruitless for you to come to God. But if you feel that little tug in your heart, something pulling at your heart this morning, if you feel that breath of God breathing on your soul, and you know that your condition today is one of lost and undone, I won't embarrass you for nothing, but I tell you, there's folks in here right now that God's dealing with. And He may not ever pass this way again. He may not ever pass your way again. I beg you. And the reason I'm begging you is because I believe the Holy Ghost is begging you right now and pleading with you. And if you'll make that step, you'll find it'll be so easy. That's right. Daddy sometimes have to be first to take these steps. That's right, Brother Charles. That's all right. Come right on. I'm not afraid. told me on the phone. He said, "Don't call me brother no more." He said, "I'm not your brother. I need God in my life." Why don't some others come today? I feel God in an unusual way in here. Why don't some of you come and just get right? Some of you in here just need to get right with God. You're saved, but you just thoroughly need to get right with God. Why don't you just do it? Can we sing another verse on that while they're playing? Come on, while God's dealing. Come on, will you? Come on, God's dealing with you too. God's dealt with you a number of times. Come on, you need to come. Come on. God loves you. Just close that book and come on. Some of you young people in here need to get in today. You need to get in today. Don't procrastinate. And don't let a thing stand in your way. Don't let a thing. Come help us, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. Most conviction we've had here in a long, long, long time. Help us, Lord. Save somebody. God, help us. Please, precious Spirit of God, I pray you'll prompt others to move the hearts of people today. I pray, Lord, that you come to deal in great conviction, great power. Display your love and your mercy. Reveal sin and unbelief and ungodliness. Save somebody today. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Come on. Why don't you come on right now? Hey, look right up here. Won't you come on? You say, "Preacher, you don't know what all I'll have to give up." I don't know what you have to give up. But what sin is it in your life right now that's more precious to you than eternity in heaven? What is more precious than life, friend? I feel God dealing. Christians, are you praying? I feel God dealing. Why don't you move? Just take that step like Charles did. Won't you do that? Just take that step. Some of God's people need to get right with God. You know you're not living right. You're not living right. You're not living right. Revival break out in here this morning. I'm telling you a fact. Revival would break out this morning if every person in this church would do what God's telling them to do right now. I didn't plan this, but I'm not canceling it. If every person in this church would do right now what God's telling you to do, we'd have revival. Why don't you be obedient to Him today? All of you. From me right on out. All of you. Song leader and the piano player and right on out through the pews. All of you. Let's get right with God today. We'll get right with God. God will send revival to this church. God's still a-dealing. Are you going to let it pass by you? Are you going to let it pass by you this morning? Almost. Thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Go thy way, Lord. Go thy way. I'll hear you in a more convenient season. There are no convenient seasons. Because the devil's just as real as he's always been. He's fighting as hard as he's ever fought. Won't you come on? God's Spirit is rich enough in here that any sinner, I believe, could about get saved. Now I know there's some in here and get saved because I can feel God dealing with you. What are you going to give in exchange for your soul, huh? People here, you know me. Brother Hall don't do stuff like this. I just don't have invitations like this. It's just not my cup of tea. I just don't do it. But I'm here to tell you, God's here. The Holy Ghost is here. And it's a dangerous time. Are you listening to me? It's a dangerous time. You say no to God one too many times, folks. I beg you. Spiritually dangerous time this morning. I tell you what I'd like you to do. While Miss Hall plays through that, let's just bow our head and pray silently this morning. And listen, if you're here and God's dealing with you about your soul, I'm going to ask you just to come on to this altar while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If there's something, if you're saved and you need God in your life about something, if there's a trouble, if there's a need, a problem, I'm going to ask you to get on this altar and settle it this morning. If there's maybe something in your heart toward somebody in the church, maybe there's somebody in the church you need to get right with. Father, I'm thankful for the privilege of preaching this morning. Thank you, Lord, for prompting Charles this morning to make his way to an altar. Father, I pray while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, not that that brings 1 ounce of power. It doesn't, I know. But I pray that now you speak to that heart, convict that heart. Convict that old sinner of their sin in such a way that they can't turn away from God. Put them in a corner, Lord. Back them into a corner. Slip the ring on their finger and the robe around their shoulders and new shoes on their feet. That you and we alike can rejoice over old sinners being saved. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.